So, Rich, how can my real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge?
I'm glad you brought that up, Brian. By including HDPhotoHub.com, you just upload your photos and your clients will get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically.
Wow, that seems pretty easy. What do I do to get started?
It is easy, and all you have to do is register today at hdphotohub.com. And if you're using the referral code SHOOTINGSPACES, you get your first property marketing kit absolutely free.
Free?
Yeah, free. HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's hdphotohub.com.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello, and welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Brian from New York.
And Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And thank you for tuning in again today for, I guess, video take two. I think we found a much better solution, Rich. You know, the first time around was we weren't completely happy with the results, but we can see each other again. And I think this is going to work much better, hopefully. So I guess our listeners can cue us in and let us know if quality-wise this looks much better than the last one. But, you know, we did get some positive feedback from the last one, despite how much we disliked it. So I think we're in a good place as far as finding, you know, better solutions and better options out there.
Well, it's a really big thing that, you know, we're only two guys, and really it's important to get feedback, because sometimes with technology, it's, you don't know where we're losing something. We might be losing it on one end of transmission, on the other end of transmission, bandwidth, you name it. And as we know from experience, because quite a few of us have been doing, trying to do webinars and things like that, they haven't all been turning out as well as we'd like. So we hope that our fans will go, our subscribers will go with us, and just please believe we're doing the best we can. So we appreciate it.
All right, but I think we're making good progress, and we're perfecting it, and we'll be in a situation hopefully soon where, you know, we have it down pat and we start releasing all these video podcasts, hopefully with guests too, which will be even better.
A lot of really exciting things in the future, and we're just going one at a, knocking out one thing at a time. And last time, I think if we didn't tell our subscribers that last time we were doing Skype, and what was the biggest problem? Seemed to be a disconnect between the lag time of speaking and, you know, the and such. Was that the main problem?
There was a lag time. I also think you know, the software we were using to record Skype had a, you know, maximum resolution of 720, which is sufficient, I guess, for most people who are watching on YouTube on their phone or whatever, but there's no reason nowadays that we shouldn't be recording in 1080. So that being said, hopefully this looks a little bit better.
Great. Okay. So how are you doing, man? What's up in the East Coast?
Good. Spring is here. It's warming up. You know, I love my dual monitor setup. I have the baseball game on one monitor, talking to you on the other. It's a perfect world right now, you know?
I can't imagine not having dual monitors. I never thought I, once I passed it by the boss and she said, my boss said, okay, you can have dual monitors. But I can't, anybody who's not using dual monitors is really, really missing out. Just huge difference.
Especially if you do video editing. I do a lot of video editing too. With video editing, it's a no-brainer. But even for photo and stuff like that, it definitely helps speed things up. And, you know, in my primary workflow, you know, photo editing wise, I usually use one main monitor for most of my photo editing, and my other monitor is, you know, my web, my email, stuff like that. So I have everything always open, always going on at the same time, or baseball for that matter. So I always have everything going on at the same time. But I've been using dual monitor for 15 years or so it's great.
And you've been busy. Is it the how's the real estate photography, the quote-unquote real estate photography, going? Because I know it's been really up and down in my neck of the woods.
It's up and down. I mean, last week I did a lot. I think I did 8 houses last week, which is a lot for me. Probably not a lot for
some guy out there is looking and saying, oh, you're kidding me. Before lunch.
Yeah, but 8 for me is a lot. I did about 8 last week. This week I only have Well, three homes, but I have a big designer shoot on Thursday, so I'm looking forward to that. You know, I'll follow up because if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you I joined Interior Design Society, my local chapter, just to kind of feel it out and see what was in. And I ended up booking a shoot off it, shooting this week. So I'm excited. And, you know, this one shoot is going to pay itself off right off the bat. So,
you know, we should definitely do a whole show on that episode of your interactions and maybe talk about meeting with associations and groups.
Yeah, networking, that was huge for me. And, you know, I made an offer for them. It was really nice. I spoke to you about it a little bit, Rich. But yeah, we'll definitely devote a whole other episode to that. Mm-hmm. And has the weather has turned by you?
What's that? The weather?
The weather has turned, yes. It's,
no, it's
you got raining, the 60s.
Raining today, raining tomorrow. And the worst part is the all my clients are looking at the weather forecast and dictating what I believe in. And then my belief is if it's like kind of going to rain and it's, you know, kind of says it's going to rain, but it's maybe 50% chance, I find it's literally about 80% to 85, 90% of the time, it's actually not a big hassle. It's really, mm-hmm. It really doesn't affect things. And I also do a lot of sky replacements. I've gotten really good at sky replacements, but I have so many shoots lined up. I can't believe it. It's just the floodgates just opened up and it's raining work. So I'm really happy. And I got this, got a really big shoot on Wednesday, a company that deals with cold storage facilities.
Interesting. So
we're talking huge
refrigerators,
60,000 square feet, 100,000 square feet of dock space and everything. And I'm going to go into this with my tried and true pole photography, because I find that buildings like single story strip malls, or, you know, things that are about, I guess you'd call this about 60 feet high, I just find the pole is the absolute best thing to do. And I'm not even going to bring a drone in on this one or bring somebody in with a drone. I'm just going to do it with my pole. And really excited about it. And I think it's going to be all ambient. So I'm kind of really looking forward to it. So I'll do my brackets.
Shooting the inside also?
Yeah, I got insides, got some offices. But these insides are, the pole is perfect for this. Because, I mean, sure, you could probably fly a drone in these facilities. But the pole is perfect here because these facilities are probably 60 feet inside. You know, these huge, huge warehouses. So I kind of got a reputation out here for a lot of things, but I do have a reputation for when you want to shoot commercial spaces like this, I kind of have a lot of background in it. So it's working great. So I'm really excited about that.
Great. And I'm sure among your clients, the pole is a big thing. Meaning they talk about that as a, you know, he's the guy that brings out the pole and his shots are incredible. So
the long selfie stick. No, you know, be honest with you. When I started with the pole, I was looking at it to do an add-on and make money. I've never made quote unquote a penny now with my pole, because I just found the clients didn't internalize it and didn't see the value in it. But the bottom line is they hire me because they don't know what it is that makes my photos different, especially like shooting a strip mall or shooting. I used to do a lot of retirement homes, one story retirement homes. The roofs all have these huge, just ugly roofs with huge air conditioning units everywhere. And if you go up higher than 16 feet, it doesn't look good. So I just found that a lot of the clients are like, we don't know why we're using you, but your photos just seem to look better. And to me, it's clear and clean that it's just the 16-foot elevation is really the key, in my
sure
opinion.
But also, even if the pole doesn't directly correlate to dollars and cents by being an add-on, you know, it makes your work look different, and in turn that gives you more work, more clients, more money. So
I just released a video today on my YouTube channel about how easy it is to get. Well, I use that little Sony a6400 now. I used to use the a6000. And it's so quick and easy. It just flip it up, flip it down, and you can check that out on my YouTube channel. So anyway, but really, it's just part of my kit, and I take it everywhere, and I pull it out at about 60, 70% of all my shoots. I pull out the pole, so it's great.
Okay, great. Yeah. All right, so we have an Ask the Guys question today, and I will play it for you now.
Okay, do it.
Hey guys, always love the podcast. This is David Jeffries from Holland, Michigan with New Listing Media. Question we always throw around the office and we'd love to get your take on is, how do you handle travel charges? We cover a pretty wide area, and it always seems like time in the car is wasted, you know, wasted opportunity. But what do you do with travel charges? How do you make it so it doesn't seem, you know, cost prohibitive? And how do you keep those good clients happy because you're able to shoot all the properties they have if they span a long area? Hope you guys are having a great day, and look forward to hearing from you.
Well, thank you, David. And you say time is wasted in the car, but it sounds like you recorded that in the car. So if you did, time is definitely not wasted. But yeah, David, thank you for the question. And for all those who do not know, David Jeffries is a contributor on our shootingspaces.net blog. So we thank you, David, for the writing that you've done for us. A lot of your articles, I think, are on video. So if anyone is interested in any real estate video questions, articles, tutorials, definitely check out our blog and look at David Jeffries' articles. Now, Rich, I know, you know, I'll pass it to you first. I know you've talked a lot about sometimes even traveling 3 hours for shoots. And I know you do a variety of stuff, whether it's real estate, you also do a ton of Spartan races all over, I guess, the Northwest area. So how do you handle this? What do you do? And then afterwards, I can explain how I do, because I actually just changed what I do recently, as recently as 2 months ago. So I'm curious to know what you do, because you do such a variety of different types of shoots and stuff.
Well, one thing I want to point out is, and this is really good, because what you do and what I do is, you know, two different worlds as far as travel. I mean, I can't even imagine traveling. Okay, I might travel 100 miles, but I'd rather travel 100 miles than to go 20 miles or 50 miles into Manhattan.
Correct. I mean,
you hear about all the things that are going to start charging you per trip to Manhattan.
Yes. Crazy. You should see the news out here. It's crazy.
So like anything in business, I just don't think it's apples to apples and fair for anyone to answer any question. And that's a big thing in all types of business. There's no one answer. Now, you can take in information, but do with it what you will and find what works for you. For me in travel, it's always a touchy subject, and it depends on many things. One is really how far is it? I like to think of 30 miles, and that as my, you know, from my home, 30 miles is like the cap, and then it starts going into whatever it goes into. And I've always had 30 miles as kind of like just business has always been 30 miles for anything I've done. So I look at it that way, and that's actually a, I call it the term of, it is palatable. People can ingest the amount of 30 miles. And that is kind of one that they will start to go, oh, well, I don't really want to pay it. But yeah, I think 30 miles is a reasonable amount. Now, if it's 31 or 32, it really depends on what you've got. But you got to remember one thing, especially with real estate photography, that there's always somebody else that's going to do your job. And a lot of agents don't value, a lot of it is you've got to really say, who is my client that is asking me to go this distance? What is that client going to pay me? Is it going to be worth it? Is it not going to be worth it? So you've got to weigh it out and value what it is. And also, you may want to talk to that agent and try and work something out, you know. But bottom line is, if I'm doing a 30-mile radius, I'm going to then add on mileage. I mean, God, I don't know about you, Brian, but I've done so many different things. I can do it by hour, by miles, and what do you do? And I think that also depends upon what kind of a property is it? What kind of a job is it? Is it design? Is it real estate? Is it low-end real estate, high-end real estate? So there's not one answer in my world, and I'm not saying that's the right thing to do. But for me, I'm going to be doing, like lately, I have one shoot coming up this week, and I said, it is, I think I charged 65 cents a mile over from my door, 65 cents round trip. And that came out okay to me. But what I really like to do is charge, if I'm doing what I want to do, I charge by the hour. And I like to do about 75 an hour, which is what my time is worth to do. And that includes everything, you know, gas, insurance, everything there. But again, there is no firm, hard, fast rule of what I am charging. for that amount. You can also look up and just do the government mileage, which I think I think was 57 or 59 cents a mile, mm-hmm. which, you know, that's not terrible. And sometimes I'll do like 65 cents a mile and, you know, it's coming out to pretty good. And, you know, it really depends upon the big picture. And also you can work it with your agent and waive it. And one thing I want to say about waiving things, I think there's nothing wrong with waiving for certain clients and, you know, whatever your motivation is, but always on my invoice, I will put in a line item like travel, and then I will put in a discount. I'll put in yes or no, and then I'll put in the amount it costs to do that travel. And then I might, in the next line over, just put the amount was N/C, no charge. So my clients will know that that is what I'm giving them. So sure.
I do that also. And it's a great idea. I'll put in like a travel $50 on the next line. I'll do travel discount minus $50 just so they know that, you know,
absolutely.
Isn't normally free. You're getting it this time free.
And you can do that with sky replacements. You can do anything. With pole. I used to do pole photography, say no charge, you know, to do pole photography, but I don't even do that anymore. So what do you charge? Because again, you're going from, people need to know, you're in Long Island, and how many miles are you from the bridge going onto the island?
Onto Manhattan? Yeah. I'm 16 miles.
16 miles.
From Manhattan. And
so you're not getting the 30 mile radius.
Well, I don't do my miles, and I
can't charge anything
because, you know, my 16 miles to Manhattan could be no joke an hour 45, 2 hours.
Absolutely.
And as you know, as I'm sure everyone knows now, when I do Manhattan shoots, I very rarely drive. I always take the train just because I can't sit and sit in a car for an hour 45 minutes to go to a shoot. It's not worth it. I start losing a lot of money. Half my day is shot, you know, just traveling. And train, it's 35 minutes from the train station's 3 blocks from my house. I walk to the train, hop on a train, 35 minutes into Midtown Manhattan. And from there, I can take an Uber or take a subway wherever I need to go and then, you know, back out. So I very rarely drive into Manhattan, but so I can't do the 30 miles from that regard. But I'm also located on Long Island. Excuse me. And 30 miles on Long Island is a lot easier to drive than 30 miles in, I guess, New York City proper. When I say New York City proper, I mean, you know, Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, the whole five boroughs of New York City. But in the same sense, we do have a lot of congestion here. So even Long Island, if I have to get somewhere in the morning during rush hour, it is not not easy. So I don't charge by miles. And what I do now, what I started doing is I started doing this about 2 months ago. First of all, I don't actually charge a travel fee in general. What I do is I have different pricing for different locations. And the way I break it down is by county. So if you go to my website and people place orders now on my website, the first thing what they do when they want to schedule a shoot is they choose, are they in Nassau County, which is the county I live in? Are they in Suffolk County, which is one county over? Or are they in the five boroughs, New York City, Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn? And then when they click on each county respectively, my pricing for that county will pop up. And what I've done is I built my travel costs into my pricing for those counties. So I don't have to sound like I'm, I guess, being cheap or trying to penny pinch them for a couple bucks to go. You know, it's kind of weird here because I live on the western part of Long Island. So I'm literally about 2 miles from Queens, but I rarely ever do work in this type of Queens. You know, if I go to Queens, it's like the heart of Queens closer to Manhattan where, you know, it will take me an hour and a half to get there. So I have it broken down. And if somebody calls me from, you know, the Queens part that's 2 miles from my house, I'm going to say I would honor my county prices. I wouldn't tell them that they have to pay their Queens prices. But I have it broken down by county where they go on my website. If they want to see the pricing, they click where their home is. And I actually have a little map. And I got this idea from Jordan Powers. So if you're listening, Jordan, thank you. I have a little map and they choose it. And from there, they can see the pricing with my travel fees built in for that price. So, they'll call me and, you know, if I have a client call me and, you know, they say to me, you know, my home, my listing is located, you know, in Suffolk County, which is one town over, which might be, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour for me to get there. They say, what are your travel fees? And I say, I don't have travel fees. These are my regular pricing. And I would give them the pricing for that county. So it's all built in. I don't like to charge anything specifically as a line item for travel. I felt that when I used to do that, it kind of dissuade them from using me. And I've literally had people say, all right, I'll try to find somebody a little closer. So I prevent that. Yeah, I'm more expensive than other people because of these travel fees. But, you know, to counterbalance it, at least I have that with saying to them, you know, no travel fees, it's all built in. So that's pretty much the way I take it. And, you know, kind of like what you said, Rich, you know, a lot of it depends on type of shoot. You know, if I'm doing a design shoot where my rates are significantly higher, I don't usually charge a travel fee unless I'm really, really going far. You know, I did a design shoot 2 months ago in Atlanta. Obviously, I charge fees for traveling out there. But any, anywhere in the tri-state New York area, New York, New Jersey, even Western Connecticut, if I have a bigger design shoot, I usually don't charge travel fees because I'm making significantly more money on a shoot and it'll just cover itself. So yeah, I mean, travel fees are a weird thing, especially where I am. It's just crazy. And you know what, even Long Island, like I was saying, I split up by counties. So we have Suffolk County here, which is one county over from, you know, Long Island is split into two counties. But you know, Long Island is so big, to get from where I am to the Hamptons or to Montauk is about 2.5 hours. And technically the Hamptons is in Suffolk County, where my pricing would be one town over. So I actually had to split a county in half with a map and say, hey, you know, this is where I'm going to. Anything past there, I'm just not even going to go, or call me, because, you know, we got to work some special pricing. Because if you want me to go out to the Hamptons, and, you know, during the summertime, I actually do go out there about once every other week to the Hamptons to shoot, and I'll line up, you know, one after the other after the other, and I'll go out there for 3, 4, 5 homes. But other than that, yeah, I mean, it's far. You know, 30 miles to me is much different than 30 miles to you.
So. Absolutely. And I think that's a big part of it too. But one thing I will say, that I think if there's a client in Manhattan, they will absorb, or it's more palatable to charge. They understand there's going to be some charge and some fee. So.
But also the rates of Manhattan are significantly better also than the rates out in the suburbs. So meaning, even if I didn't build in a travel fee and I charge my normal Manhattan rates, it's significantly higher than what I would travel to go to a house, which is 4 blocks from me. So
it's all been figured out.
It's all relative. And it kind of, at the end of the day, I guess it just works itself out. It makes it worthwhile, you know. And the truth of the matter is, for me to go to Manhattan, you know, on a train might be quicker than for me to go to drive to a shoot in my county. You know, and I get work done on the train. I relax, I listen to a podcast, do this, do that. So, travel's a weird thing in our business.
Well, for me, I've literally though, I'm not going to do, when I do Spartan races, I usually do San Francisco, AT&T Park and Monterey. I don't think I'm going to do it anymore because, it's a day to get there and you got to spend the night. You got to shoot all day. Then you got to shoot the next day, and then you got to drive home 2 hours, whatever. And even though they pay for mileage, you know, it's really turning out to be a 3.5 day thing. And it could take you forever to go. And it's $75 a day for parking. And I'm just like,
No, that's brutal. Yeah. See, when I travel really far like that for a shoot, I don't even charge mileage. I just charge them. First of all, sometimes I'll even rent
day.
It. Yeah, exactly. I'll charge them. Exactly. It's not my full day rate. It's a travel day rate. So it can be anywhere from 250 to 300, whatever it is, a cheaper travel day rate. I'm not shooting, but my day is lost. So I need to make up some of the income. And if I'm driving 3, 4, 5 hours, I might even rent a car and not put the mileage on my own car. You know, just rent a cheap $30-$40 a day car.
But really important, I would just want to impress, especially to the photographers out there that are getting into this or still trying to find their way. Let's say you're kind of doing really well in real estate photography, but you want to jump into design photography. Don't be firm and hard on things like, oh, I got to charge mileage, because you got to look at the big picture. What's it all worth to you? Where are you going? What do you want to do? Where do you want to be in 2 years and 5 years? And, you know, put that into consideration. And you don't want to undercut yourself. But you got to remember, you got to just whatever, like if I said something or you say something, a price, it's irrelevant. It's just not apples to apples.
So well, the relationship that you're going to potentially build with your client is so much more valuable than the 50 or 75 bucks you're going to get for travel. So in the long run.
It absolutely. And I just have been, you know, I've had someone just contacted me recently just saying how they charge $95 to do a house and they just can't, and they only use one light. And how can you afford to use more than one light? Because they equate it to just taking more time and that's, and then, you know, whatever they were talking about. And I just said, hey, slow down, get, let's talk about this. Where do you want to be? Look at it this way. Don't look at it this way. You know, don't look at it right now as you're, you know, it took me 4 hours to shoot and then 3 hours to edit and 2 hours to travel. I could be working at McDonald's. Well, that's true, but you can't look at it that way. So, you know.
You got to look at a big picture. I was having that conversation with somebody on Facebook the other day, somebody in Long Island in that area. Also, I forgot her name, but she was saying how, you know, she reached out to a local agent and then, you know, they used someone paying $95. And she said, how can you do that? And I said, you know what? On Long Island, you can't. And those people are not going to be around for long. So, you know, it's, you can't look at it as, like you said, breaking down $95, but, you know, I'm putting 8 hours into a shoot, you know, that's $10, $11, $12 an hour. That's not, you know, don't look at it like that because, you know, as soon as we all know, we'll be shooting houses in 20 minutes like Jordan and everything will just fly. So
weigh yourself out. Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely. No. So, but on a, you know, on a more serious note, yeah, no, well, you know, you get your routine down and you get in through a house in an hour, whatever it is. And you get your editing down pat, you get your editing done in an hour and a half, whatever it is. And smooth sailing and just, you know, find your flow.
Well, I just released a video last week and it was showing a full edit from start to finish. And okay, I had already edited it, so I was a little ahead of the game. But with all my talking and everything, I still did, I think it was 40 minutes.
40 minutes,
42
yeah.
minutes.
I watched.
And I was cool with it. It was just, you know, some are longer, some are shorter. But, you know, it's to do better work. It may take you longer and may not make sense right now. But you got to look at the big picture. What's it going to be in a year, 2 years? Where are you going?
Yep. All right, Rich. Well, thank you, David, for the question. And thank you for contributing to our shootingspaces.net blog. We appreciate all your articles. And just remind everyone to go and check them out. Check out those articles. We got new stuff releasing every week. And, you know, we would like to release more, but we are just so busy with everything else, you know, with this video that you're watching, hopefully, or listening to. And other stuff we have coming up, hopefully. So, you know, we'll get as many articles out there as we can, but we just have so much going on. You know, we apologize for not releasing more than one a week. So,
Hey, what's up with that shirt you got on?
Oh, that, what's yeah, that I had a logo? Shoot today. That's my little,
is that your logo?
That's one of my logos. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
A little bee with a home.
Mm-hmm.
So,
BB.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, look, I have polos that I wear on all my shoots for my real estate brand and my higher end brand. So, you know, I guess, first of all, I don't have to worry about not looking as professional. I have a nice polo and, you know, I don't have to worry about what I'm going to wear that day. Just throw on a little polo. Got Nike's finest polos, custom embroidered, and I'm good to go.
Well, I know there's a lot of people out there that wear custom shirts and I don't, but I'm just a guy. I just show up. They're lucky I show up. No, I'm just joking. Okay.
Yeah, you're doing something right.
Yeah, things are great. So I guess want to just take us out, man.
Yeah, just remind everyone, we have a couple more Ask the Guys in the queue, but please send them in. We can always use more, and it gives us great filler content in between interviews. So, you know, as always, we're striving to get some great guests, but we do have to fill in that space. So we do these questions like we just did for you. So submit your questions. We got a bunch. We got a question this week from Peter Lyons. So I'm actually looking forward to doing his question in the next couple of weeks. So we had him on a few weeks ago.
And Peter is dealing with, he's in the Bay Area and he lives way out in Petaluma, which is a long way from where he shoots. So he's got to deal with that he'd be an interesting guest to have on regarding mileage, because I don't know how he does it. New York is one thing, LA is one thing, but San Francisco, man, the Bay Area is badass traffic, and it's not good traffic. It's terrible traffic. Anyway, well, I want to thank everybody. Subscribe, man. And as we want to do, ask the guys, and it's great. And we've got shootingspaces.net, our blog, and all that stuff going on. So we're here to help you to become more successful and, you know, kill some of that time in your car going from one location to the next location. And I just want to say, whatever you're doing, just make sure you go out there and shoot some spaces. See you later. This episode of Shooting Spaces has been brought to you by HDPhotoHub.com, helping your real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge. Just upload your photos and your clients will get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically. Register today at hdphotohub.com using referral code SHOOTINGSPACES and you get your first property marketing kit absolutely free. HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's hdphotohub.com.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.